Good morning, once again. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Let me park in Jeremiah for a little while. Jeremiah chapter 2, in verse 14. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he plundered? So we have three questions, and we're going to make two types of applications. First, national applications. And second, personal applications. National applications. Is Israel a servant? Absolutely not. Israel is a son. In the book of Exodus chapter 4 and verse 22, we read, "Thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. She is the nation chosen by God on the sole basis of his grace." In Deuteronomy, we read this, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure, above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, fear the least of all peoples, but because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers. The Lord has brought you out with the mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." Surely Israel is not a servant, but a son. Is he a homeborn slave? Certainly not. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were all born free men. Why is he plundered? Read on in Jeremiah, and he shall tell it to you straight. "Have you not brought this on yourself, in that you have forsaken the Lord your God when he led you in the way? Your own wickedness will correct you, and your backslidings will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts." Now, Jeremiah's ministry spanned a number of years. And early in his ministry, he witnessed a measure of revival in the days of Josiah. But the nation was too far gone. The revival was only a temporary revival. And to the Babylonian captivity would the children of Israel go. They had been fairly warned, and yet they chose to disobey the Lord and follow their own paths. What of America? Was our great nation not founded on freedom? Live free or die, as they say in New Hampshire. We hold these truths to be self-evident. We read in our finding documents, "Our government and our society must be governed and ordered, quote, according to gospel principles." Where do we find that? Not in the writings of John Calvin or in the commentary of Matthew Henry, although they too may well have quoted it, but in the first state of Rhode Island Constitution, the Rhode Island State Charter of 1663. Like Israel, our nation was most certainly not founded on the basis of servitude. Our nation was not founded that we might be homeborn slaves. Now, our history is far from perfect, But notwithstanding, God has shed his grace on thee. The explorers came here for three reasons: to colonize, to find freedom, and the last, the greatest reason, to evangelize those who dwelt here in darkness. See, the documents of the 1600s and 1700s were God exalting and biblical at the core. So the question arises, why is he plundered? We're in the mess that we're in as a country because we have walked away from God. We have not heeded the words of Scripture, and we've not followed in the paths of our godly forefathers who set forth a way of life after the manner that God set forth in his holy writ. Having reviewed the national applications of our text, let us make personal application to our text. And I'm going to speak mostly to Christians, those of the household of faith who are here today. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he plundered? Friend, let us ask ourselves these questions. Are you a servant in bondage to some sin? Are your associations frequent in the world, but seldom in Christ? You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Are you a servant of men or a servant of Christ? And more than this, a son of the King. Christian friend, you are not a servant of men, but a son or a daughter of the King. King Jesus, it says it right there in the book. We find written in the gospel, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Have you trusted in the facts that Christ died for you and rose again for the salvation of your soul? Is your spirit freed by God? Or are you still in bondage to the world, the flesh, and the devil? Or has your spirit been freed by God, and have you placed yourself back in that bondage? If you're in bondage to any of these things, you have no one to blame but the man in the mirror. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, lust of the eyes, I'm sorry, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it does not know him. So if the world does not understand where you're coming from with your biblical thinking, the problem isn't the Lord. The problem isn't the biblical thinking. The problem is the world. Was Jesus himself not misunderstood time and time again? And the apostles, and all of those who have propagated and practiced the Christian faith throughout these centuries. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Let us ask ourselves another question. Are you a homeborn slave? Truly speaking, each of us indeed has been brought forth in iniquity and conceived in sin. But Christian believer, you are no longer a homeborn slave, but a new creation. Got a lot of folks running around, they want to identify as this and identify as that. As Christians, let us identify as new creations in Christ. That's our identity. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked. And though you are slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, but just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. In other words, you're a homeborn slave and you didn't even know it. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness in the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sobering words for the uncommitted. I pray that you get off that fence today. And as I said earlier, don't even go near that fence. Cast a lot of your soul with God through Jesus at once, even this morning. And if you've cast your affections away, cast them back. Listen to God's words, and may his word be that proverbial nail in the coffin of your rebellion. Jesus said this, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants. We have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Jeremiah's third question in our text comes to each of us this way. Why then are you plundered? The way of the transgressor is hard. Sin is a hard life, and sin is a cruel master. God has shown you the way and lovingly pleaded with you to repent and set your life aright. For your iniquities you have sold yourselves, but the Lord has heard your prayer, our prayers today. I pray that this whole church catches the spirit of repentance from dead works to the true and living God this morning. Are you ready to turn back? To vow? To let go of what you know is sin that you are still doing with tears of repentance before God? And if need be, before men as a testimony. I'd like to close with the word from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 50, in verse 10. Who among you fears the Lord? More questions. I love these questions in Scripture. You can always add, every time we see a question, we ask ourselves that question. Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Let us pray, knowing that such faith, belief, and trust, coupled with repentance and hope, is the effective vaccine for our souls. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. As we read through the prophet Jeremiah, we read many, many hard things. We thank you for the probing questions that are asked therein and the many, many applications that we find. Lord, we thank you that you give us these things to challenge us personally, individually, for the purpose of self-examination. Lord, we pray that each one of us here catches that spirit of repentance, because we know that that spirit of repentance is really one and the same as a spirit of revival amongst your people. We pray that you bring about a measure of it, just as you did in the days of Josiah in our nation. We pray that you bring about a measure of it in us, and that you continue to do so. Lord, there are things in us. We may call them desires or character flaws or whatever we want to call them, but Lord, we acknowledge them to be sin, iniquities, transgressions. And Lord, we pray your forgiveness. We set them before you and ask for your help as to how to go forward in a holy and godly course of action, that our testimony might be sure. before God and before men. If there are any in my hearing who are still being plundered by sin and its consequences, who are without peace and filled with anxiety as a result of lack of trust, lack of faith in God, Lord, may you open up these hearts to receive your Son, the Savior Jesus Christ, who fills us with all things that we need. And gives us permanent hope, permanent help, permanent peace, and continually so. We pray that decisions, resolves, and vows might be made to these effects today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.